Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Okay, I'd like to start off by saying thank you to the ladies here at the Airport Church of Christ for giving me this opportunity to speak, and also to say thank you to you ladies for coming today. We are so honored and so encouraged by your presence here. The topic of my lesson today is the power of kindness and our love for others. Now, under that heading, I'll be speaking on various points of kindness, such as leading by example, opportunity for teaching. Kindness is noticed by all, no matter who you are. And remember, God loves everyone, even if it's hard for us. Now that you know where we're going, let's start off with where the power of kindness starts. And it starts by leading by example. How can we lead by example unless we have someone's example to follow? And I can't think of a better example than Christ. He's our perfect example. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so Christ is our perfect example. Even Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. What does it mean to imitate? Well, according to the Webster's Dictionary, imitate means to follow as a pattern, a model, or example. In our case as Christians, we're to follow Jesus' example and his instructions. Because remember what Jesus told the 12 in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20? Matthew 28, 19 through 20, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Did they do that? Absolutely, they did. And we can read about that in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 14, where Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and declared unto them. He preached to them Jesus. And then we can read in verse 41 that the ones who received the message, they were immersed. And if you go to verse 42, it says, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They were leading by Jesus' example. They were doing what they were instructed to do. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, reads, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. We can see here that we are all to be imitators of Christ, of Paul, and the apostles, for we were just told to do so in these verses that I just read. As stated earlier, how can we lead by example unless we have someone to follow? Those are the ones that we're to follow. How is it that Christian women are to follow in their example? What is it that we're to do? Well, Paul tells us that we're to teach the younger women. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4, it says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Now, how do we teach the young women? We teach them by example and hands-on. In the construction trade, my husband calls it OJT, which means on-the-job training. So just how are we to teach the young women? I'd like to use a personal example for me. Some 30 years back, although I wasn't a young woman, but I was young in the faith, my instructor, or I should say, the one who was an example to me in the Lord's church, and you all know her, was Doris Fikes. I can see in her the qualities that you would see or that you would read in the Bible of godly women. I saw in her her love for God, her love for her family. I saw her faithfulness in attending worship, her modest dress, her kindness, her wonderful warm hospitality, and her caring and loving ways. She would call you if she didn't see you here at worship and let you know that she missed you. She worked hard and was always there for whatever need anyone had. And she listened to you. She cried with you. She showed compassion. She loved teaching children, and she loved teaching the ladies' Bible class. Sister Doris did many great works in the Lord's Church here at the Airport Church of Christ. And I miss her dearly, and I know many of you do. Thankfully, she's only a phone call away and still an encouragement to me. I can truly say that Sister Doris was one that led by example. In these godly qualities I just read, ladies, we too can lead by example. We can lead our young women. We can lead our young children here. I have two granddaughters sitting in the front here and one in the back. And we can teach them. So the scriptures that I'm going to be reading, you can take note of these. And listen as I read them. Okay, so we can teach them, first of all, to love God. And that's in Mark chapter 12, verse 20. I did it again. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Sorry. Okay, so to love God. We can teach them, of course, those who are married, to love their husbands and children. And that's in Titus chapter 2, verse 4. And even the young ones could learn as young as they are. So when they grow up and get married, to love their husbands and their children. Teach them young. To be faithful in attending worship and to worship in spirit and truth. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And to be modest. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. To be modest. Also to be examples in word, your manner of life, in love, faith, and purity. You can find that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. And to show compassion and kindness, or kindness and compassion. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. To be hospitable is another one. 1 Peter 4, 9. And to be a hard worker, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And love, to love one another. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. You know, there's an old saying that a picture is worth a thousand words. And the life that we live is the picture that we portray. It's the example that we show others, isn't it? Are we Christ-like? Are we leading by His example? Are we teaching? Do you have an opportunity to teach? Do you make an effort to teach? Remember, ladies, we are to teach the younger women. And according to the Great Commission, we're to go into all the world and teach. With that in mind, let's look at some opportunities to teach. That could be in your workplace, your neighborhood, your homes, right here, or in the congregation that you belong to. So let's start with this place. In the church, it's a great place to start. How are we teaching? Are we in these classrooms teaching our young children? If you haven't taught before, sit in on one of the teacher's Bible classes as a teacher's aide. Or if you've been out of duty for a while of teaching, it's a great opportunity to start back. Another great opportunity is our Vacation Bible School. You all know how much there is to do in Vacation Bible School. There's always lots, and the help would be appreciated and a great opportunity to you to help out. A home Bible study in your own home is a good place to start. For young mothers with little ones, you can read stories from the Bible, and if they're at the age of reading, encourage them to read their own little Bibles. It's a wonderful way to start teaching. I even remember when Sister Doris was here, she would invite the neighborhood children into her home and had Bible classes with them. That's a great opportunity. And then there's our shut-ins, people we know that can't get out. Some that are in senior homes or in care facilities. You can sit and visit with them for a while. You can have a Bible study, have a song and a prayer. I'm sure that would make their day. And I know we have ladies here that do that because we've got a shut-in, our Sister Dottie. And I know she appreciates it when the ladies here go to visit. And then there's a volunteer to go on a missionary trip is another great opportunity to teach. And when you come back, I'm sure you'd have lots to share. At work, simply by having your Bible on your desktop may cause an interest. Reading your Bible during your lunch hour may spark interest in your coworkers. Or how about reading your Bible on a bus? There's a great example, someone seeing you read that Bible. You never know. Okay, and then we have our ladies' Bible class. Our ladies' Bible class, I can't stress enough. If you have a ladies' Bible class, join it. You'll be so encouraged, and they will be encouraged to have you. I've always said I love my ladies' Bible class because it's been a tremendous help to me. It's a great opportunity to learn to teach a class. In our ladies' class, there are opportunities to reach out to those who are sick, spiritually or physically. Whatever need or event, we send our love in a card to them. We send little notes of words of encouragement, sometimes to people we don't even know. So I'd like to share some verses with you of encouragement. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and edify one another, just as you also are doing. We've looked at many opportunities for teaching, and in all our teaching, to our children, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our co-workers, it all needs to be done in kindness. With that in mind, let's go to the subject of kindness. The Greek word for kindness, as used in the New Testament, means uprightness or benevolence and describes the ability to act for the welfare of others. The Vine's Expository Dictionary defines kindness as goodness of heart. If you have goodness of heart, you will see kindness, because kindness is noticed by all, no matter who you are, where you work, what education you have, how rich or how poor you are, your kindness will be noticed. Here's just a brief description of some women and men in the Bible who are known for their kindness, both in the New and in the Old Testament. First, let's start off with one that I think that most people don't think about as being an act of kindness, and that's Rahab the harlot. She showed kindness by hiding two spies. You can read of her in Joshua chapter 2, verse 6 through 16. In that reading, you'll see that Rahab's kindness was returned to her, and that her family was spared from the destruction of Jericho. And how about Pharaoh's daughter showing kindness by rescuing baby Moses from her father's decree to cast all male babies into the Nile? You can read of that in Exodus. Other acts of kindness was that of Joseph. Joseph's kindness towards his brothers. Was it easy for Joseph to be kind to his brothers? knowing that they sold Joseph into slavery? It was many years later that Joseph had the opportunity to show his kindness. You can read of that in Genesis chapter 45. There are many kinds of, accounts of kindness in the Old Testament, and there are many accounts of kindness in the New. We looked at a couple from the Old. Now let's look just at two of the many in the New Testament. We all know of Dorcas. Dorcas is a wonderful example of kindness that we read of her in the New Testament. And you can read that in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 39. Acts chapter 9, 36 through 39. Dorcas was known for her good works and charitable deeds. She made clothes for the needy. She was remembered for her kindness and her good works. Now let's look at one more act of kindness. This one is the most known act of kindness known throughout the world. What makes this a tremendous act of kindness is this person, was a kind person to those whose culture despised him and had great prejudice against him. You see, the Jews did not have anything to do with the Samaritans. In fact, they would go out of their way just to avoid any kind of contact with them. Now, I'm going to be reading this, and I'm hoping that you will enjoy it. And for the younger ones, some of us have read it many times, but for you, I'm going to read it. Okay, so, and it reads in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and he saw him and had compassion on him. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil, wine, and he set him on his animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Here we see that the Samaritan showed compassion and kindness. I'd say he went above and beyond, didn't he, in helping him. The Samaritan's acts of kindness has influenced our whole country and the world. For you see, there are good Samaritan laws in all 50 U.S. states and the District of Columbia and in many other countries and cities throughout the world. How well were these acts of kindness known? It's known to this day. We're still reading about them. I'd like to read a poem that describes why a Christian's behavior is so important. Some of you may have heard this. It's written by Leroy Brownlow. And let's think of this poem in terms of a Christian woman. And there's a gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 2. There's another gospel that many are reading, the gospel of you. All teaching we find in the Bible are facts we know to be true. You must live them to make them the gospel according to you. Many read not the words of the Bible. I will tell you what some of them do. They are reading the book you are writing, the gospel according to you. There is great power in gospel preaching. The Bible teaches that is true. But the sermon most likely to influence others is the gospel according to you. God helps us to be faithful to Jesus, to live all his teaching so true, so that all may see his spirit in the gospel according to you. You are writing a gospel chapter each day by things you do, by things you say. Others read that gospel, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Now, my last and final point of this lesson I'm going to be speaking on is remembering God loves all, even if it's hard for us. Remembering God loves all, even if it's hard for us. Now, I'd like to start out with, how did God show his love for everyone? Well, when you think about it, in the very beginning, when man fell from God's grace in the garden, God would provide a way for mankind to get back into his graces. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it reads, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The key in that verse is the word seed. God would show his love for all mankind through a seed. This prophecy of the seed is Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One. He is the seed. God shows us more clearly his love that he has for the whole world when he speaks to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There is God's love. Do we remember the account of Abraham offering his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2? Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, where God said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Let's keep that in mind and go on to over to verses 15 through 18. Genesis chapter 22, 15 through 18. A second time the angel of Yahweh called Abraham from heaven, saying, by myself I have sworn, says Yahweh, because you have done this and have not held back your son, your only son, therefore in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. As the grains of sand and on the seashore, your seed will inherit the gate of their enemies. In verse 18, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your seed because you have obeyed my voice. There is God's love again for us, ladies. God is loving. And from the beginning of man's fall in the garden, he promises a seed through Abraham. All nations shall be blessed from that seed. Now let's look what Paul tells us as we read in the book of Galatians. Some of you may be using or may have a Pew Bible there with you. And in those Pew Bibles, the topic of these verses is titled, The Changeless Promise. I'm going to read Galatians 3:16. It reads in Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. This was the love to everyone promised by God way back then. Let us look at some verses that puts the icing on the cake. And I know that all of us know this, and we can probably all recite it together because you've all heard it and probably learned it from a very young age. You all know the one, Genesis. John 3:16, the one that starts out with, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's good. Okay. Thank you. So in Romans 5:6-8, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's true love. Christ died for us. Now that we understand God's love for us, what about our love for others? Can we have that same attitude, having love for others, as God has for the whole world? For some, it may be hard, especially when being treated so badly. What does Paul tell us in how we are to live and how we are to love others? If we go back again to what Paul said and about what we are to imitate, who are we to imitate? Who do we look to for our example? Remember in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And again in Ephesians 5:1-2, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet smelling aroma. Can we do that? Can we give our life for sinners? Can we give our life for someone we don't even know? Can a mother for her child do that? How easy it would be for a mother to give her life for a child. No problem. But how could you give your life for just anyone? Jesus did. Let's look at some instructions from the Bible. Here again in 1 Peter 2:21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. In 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. Are we abiding in Christ? Are we walking as he walked? In 1 John 3:15-16, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's a hard thing, isn't it? To walk in his footsteps in that manner. But you know, we can show our love to everyone as God did. We have the Bible to teach us. There are many scriptures that we can learn from. Here are a few Bible verses on showing love. In John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. In Ephesians 4:1-2, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul fervently tells them to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. In Romans 13:10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I'm going to take a couple of minutes here to talk about something I read I thought was kind of funny. It's about a peanut cartoon. You all have seen that, right? They're called the Peanuts Gang. In fact, I was just watching it the other day with my granddaughter. So, the Peanuts Gang. Frank, there's some of the characters. I don't know them all. I know there was Frank, Linus, Van Pelt, Charlie Brown, Lucy, Pigpen, and Peppermint Patty. Right? Oh, you know. See, he recognizes it. In one of the Peanuts cartoons, it shows Lucy standing there with her arms folded and a stern expression on her face. Charlie Brown pleads, "Lucy, you must be more loving. The world really needs love. You have to let yourself love to make this world a better place." Lucy angrily whirls around and knocks Charlie Brown to the ground. She screams at him, "Look, blockhead. The world I love, it's people I can't stand." That's Lucy for you. She's characterized as a crabby, bossy, opinionated girl who bullies other characters in the strip, particularly Linus and Charlie Brown. But is this how we feel sometimes? We know it's not the world that's difficult. It's easy to love the world. But what can be real challenging is the people around us. There's a lot of Lucys in the world. But as Christian women, how are we to handle the Lucys in our lives? Can we love those Lucys in our lives? She may sit across from us in the workplace, or maybe living next door to you, or maybe it's a family member. We've all dealt with mean people one time in our lives or another. People who just rub us the wrong way. People who may be unkind to us, even show hate towards us. How do we cope with people like this? How do we handle situations when we become so frustrated? No matter how unkind people are to us, God's word tells us we're to do good. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for those who speak evil about you and persecute you." I have a few more Bible verses on dealing with this, and as we know, what better place can we go than to the Bible for answers? These are God's comforting words. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In Psalms chapter 34, verse 18, Psalms 34, 18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." How many brokenhearted are out there? God cares. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls." In Galatians 6, verse 9, Galatians 6, verse 9, "And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if you do not give up." This is God's loving and comforting words for us. As we receive those loving and comforting words from God, we in turn ought to share comforting words with others. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "Let nothing be done through selfish, ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." In 1 Peter 4, 8, it reads, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." What more does the Bible say in how we're to deal with people in the world? I'm going to conclude this lesson with a scripture, or with scriptures on love. So let's remind ourselves, ladies, what love is and what it isn't. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 8. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Remember, ladies, God loves all, even if it's hard for us, because love never fails. I hope that this lesson has been an encouragement to you, and I want to thank you all for being such a good audience and listening so well. May God bless you all.
Amen.
Thank you.